This is Sound Ideas. I'm Willis Kern, and with us in the studio is the reporter of that story, Judy Valente. She joins us to talk about what went into the creation of that story and why it was done. Judy, this priest has been in Bloomington since 2013. Why tell people about it now?
Actually, I was covering another story about a week or two ago about a priest in Peoria who had been removed from ministry after having had an allegation found to be credible of sexual abuse against him. In the course of reporting that story, some people began to mention to me, did I also know about a priest in Bloomington who had been in prison on drug charges? And of course, I had not known that. And I began to then call around to people I knew at the two parishes, and it apparently had never been formally presented or publicly presented to the parishioners what this priest's background was. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Maybe I should do a little further research into this. So I called the National Federation of Priest Councils in Chicago. They represent about, 32,000 priests across the country. And the president of the organization told me that he knew of no other example where a priest had been returned to ministry who had a serious charge like a felony drug conviction.
So you've covered the Catholic Church for many years. Did you expect that this story would end up being about transparency and lack thereof in the church? Because there's certainly been a lack of it for years.
No, not at all. I actually called the priest thinking he might want to talk about this phenomenal spiritual journey he's been on and how perhaps his experience in prison and now out of prison, back in ministry, helps him become a more compassionate, a more merciful priest. I really thought that that would be the story at the outset, so I was rather surprised that it became a story about trying to block this information from coming out.
And then you got a hold of the Peoria Diocese, and you asked them to comment on it. Were you surprised by their response?
Well, on the one hand, the Peoria Diocese does have somewhat of a reputation of not speaking publicly on a variety of issues. On the other hand, the Catholic Church did promise greater transparency about its priests in the wake of the decades-long clergy sex abuse scandal. So I was hopeful that, yes, I would get some sort of comment from them. Initially, I was hopeful, and also that they might encourage the priest to tell his story of his own spiritual journey.
What about parishioners? You talked to some of them. What kind of response did you get from them?
Well, there were many, many who did not know about the priest's background, which, again, said to me this might be a news story. And there were some who said they didn't know at the beginning in 2013 when he first came, but subsequently they heard things through the grapevine and they looked up his background on the internet, so they know it and they don't care anymore, or they kind of care, but he's with them. So you had a bit of a variety of responses. What did surprise me, Willis, was that I began to receive very, very negative, almost, you might say, shrill emails from some Catholics in the area saying, why are you doing this story? Why are you out to embarrass the church? And even in one case, face-to-face to me, going so far as to suggest that I was anti-Catholic and the station is anti-Catholic, which, of course, is not the case at all. And people saying, if you run that story, we are going to criticize publicly WGLT Radio. We're going to withdraw our contributions. We're not going to speak to WGLT Radio. There were some very strong responses in trying to stop us from doing this story.
And the response from a Catholic audience is going to be different than a Protestant audience if you're doing a story about a Protestant situation, because the circumstances are different, aren't they?
They're very different. In Protestant churches, there's a search committee, or what they sometimes call a call committee, which is similar to a search committee that you would have in a corporation looking for executives, personnel. And it's very difficult to conceal a minister's past in a Protestant denomination. And in Protestant churches, it is the congregation, it is the lay people who are selecting their pastor. That's totally different in the Catholic Church, where
it's more of a top-down process.
Right. Parishioners have little or no input. It is the bishop, the diocese, the chancery, whatever you want to call it, that says this priest is going to your parish and he's there. You don't really have any say in whether he comes or whether he goes. That's just how it is in the Catholic Church. Another aspect of why Catholics may be reluctant to publicly criticize their church or speak publicly about their church is the fact that priests do wield a tremendous amount of power in the Catholic Church. They can deny the sacraments, like Holy Communion, to a person, even burial rites, if they feel that person is not in good standing. So that's a difference also between the Protestant denominations and the Catholic Church.
So now that this story has taken a bit of a turn from where it was when you first heard about it and have finished reporting on it, what do you hope will be the outcome of it?
Well, I hope that the church, the diocese, will be more transparent in the future. And mainly I hope that Father Windy, the subject of the story, will at some point feel comfortable about telling his story. By most accounts, he's a very good priest. He's a hardworking priest. And I, for one, would love to hear from him how he overcame those challenges in his life. You know, we're all sinners. The Pope, Pope Francis, one of the first things he said after being elected Pope is, "I am a sinner." And so I think we're all struggling with our own demons, and it would be perhaps inspirational to hear about how someone else overcame their struggles.
Well, Judy, I know you've done many stories on your Catholic faith through the years. This one must have been especially difficult for you.
It certainly is. I have been a lifelong Catholic myself, a mass-going, practicing Catholic all of my life, and there are some stories you wish you didn't have to do, and this was one of them.
All right, very good. Thank you very much. That's GLT's Judy Valente. You can read and hear the story online at WGLT.org.